implement. Like I said earlier, everyone here, have you seen your bulletin today? Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Praise be unto God. Praise God. Amen. If you would hold up your Bibles, let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. It's the second one. That's Second Timothy. And it's called an epistle, which means a letter that was written to Timothy. Timothy was a very young man compared to all the other ones that were with Paul and whatever else down there. But Timothy was a young man, and Timothy was under the tutelage, if you want to say it that way, of Paul. And Paul would advise him and give him advice and help him and just kind of took him in and tried to groom him into what God was already doing. And, you know, we need that in our personal lives. You know, everyone needs somebody or people, men and women, to help them to live a very successful Christian life. And so here we see Timothy receiving not just one letter from Paul, but a second letter from him. So you have to understand that these things, you know, some of the scriptures were written to churches. Some were written to individuals, but all written under the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit, written by God to certain people, but written to them, but for the body of believers that was coming up to help them to live a Christian, successful Christian life. And so here we see Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not just doing it just to do it, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pinning down 2 Timothy, the book, the epistle, the letter, from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Spirit, from the Father above, and pinning it down, writing it, and giving it, and sending it to Timothy. Now, we do know that the Apostle Paul wrote a lot of these letters in prison, of all places. Sometimes we think of prison as a bad place, and yes, it is to a certain point. But sometimes God will use some situations in our lives to help us to become what he wants us to be. And so here, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter basically from a prison place or prison door. And so God was moving upon Timothy to accomplish his will. But this is one part of that scripture. One part of the scripture. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at this. Verse 5, it says this. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry. Now, here he's writing to Timothy and he's saying this, the first part of it, But watch thou in all things. Watch. The idea, it says, from the comment is that he's really talking about the idea of things that Timothy needs to watch out for. Watch out for your life, Timothy. Watch out for your ministry, Timothy. So Paul is explaining or telling him, watch thou in all things. Watch the things in your life and make sure you watch about the things in your ministry. Now, you know, in Bible days, when a city was built, you know, people would finally gather together and cities were built. And we don't see that anymore, but as cities were built in Bible days, they would come together and they build their homes. And what they would do first, almost first, is start to build a wall around their cities. See, we have, you know, today the police force, you know, in the city. We have the sheriff's department for the parish. We have the state police. We have, you know, all those entities that protect us. If we need to call upon them for whatever reasons, they will respond to our call and come help us. Responding to accidents, responding to things, a fire or whatever happens in our homes or whatever's going on. If we need help, you know, they'll come, the ambulance and all that stuff. Well, back then they didn't have that. Those things were not available. So they had to protect themselves. So what they would do was they would build these huge, massive walls as they could around the city. And what they would do was they would put people upon the walls of these, upon the walls at the top to watch. And what they, you might say, well, what are they watching for? They were watching for the enemy. They were watching for anything that would come close to their cities that would cause harm to their cities. Anything, whatever it may be. You know, one city was always against another city. You know, one kingdom was against another kingdom. And so they had these people that were watching. Well, Paul is telling Timothy, watch thou in all things. And it's, the idea is that it's pertaining to, number one, your life. That we are to watch the things that are coming into our lives. We shouldn't be so naive that we think everything that's coming towards us is good. But that not all things are good. We need to watch our lives. We need to live lives that are set apart for the kingdom of God. Lives that God could be look at us and say he's proud of. Now, you might say, well, you know, I can't do all things. I understand that. But we can call upon God that can help us to protect our lives. Physically, number one, yes, but more so spiritually. That we can protect the Spirit of God that lives in us. Because, you know, Paul knew that if Timothy would give way in any way of opening up a door for his life, that the enemy could come in and bring damnation and harm to him, that it could destroy him, his life. And we need to be protective of our lives, spiritually, I'm talking about. Most of all, physically, we take care of those things most of the time. But we are to protect ourselves, our lives, spiritually. That we take care of the Spirit of God that lives in us. That he is protected. Because you see, as it says in John chapter 3 about being born again, we receive Christ as our Savior. And Christ has come in and lives inside of us. We are to protect that, what's in us, that keeps growing and growing. And we're becoming more like him. To protect that, what's in us. See, how do we take care of those things? Number one, we read our Bibles. We take care of that spirit man on the inside. We pray. We seek God. But we protect and don't let things come in. Because all it takes is for the enemy to have an inch. And he can bring destruction. And so we got to make sure that we don't allow those things as much as we know how to protect. That we don't allow those things to come in. You know, We know we talk about this flood stuff here. And a lot of good things have happened with this flood, if you want to say good. The nature of man. We've seen how men and women have helped people they don't even know of. Given money, given cleaning supplies, food. I mean, just, it's amazing to me. It's amazing. And thank God. That is when something happens here that people here and throughout the world, if you want to say, throughout our country will come and help us and help our people. Because, you know, we just can't do it alone. Bring ourselves back up. But even in all this greatness, there have been some that has taken advantage of it. Huh. We know that. We know some that has lied to get the food stamps, lied to get assistance of whatever kind, you know, from cleaning stuff to whatever, said that they were their stuff was destroyed and it wasn't. They weren't even in a flood zone, you know, but nothing happened. See, as Christians, we are to be Christ-like. And do what is right, no matter what, how easy it may be to get what we like. When it's wrong, it's wrong. When it's right, though. And so, you know, we got to make sure as Christians that we don't fall into the trap of, well, they're doing it, or whoever's doing it, that we can do it. No. We live differently. We have someone we're accountable to, that we account to. So we got to protect our lives that we don't allow that to come. Now, hey, if you've been affected, you rightfully deserve, okay, these things. But if you have not, you don't. You know, that's just, and I think we all can agree on that. I mean, you know, definitely. Definitely. You've been affected, you deserve to be helped by our government. You deserve to be helped by our church. You deserve to be helped by our community here, Gaydon and Kaplan and the surrounding areas. You deserve to be helped. You deserve to be fed. You deserve to be helped in whatever areas. But yet, we should never take advantage of those things, of the kindness of people. But if you've been affected, you deserve to be helped. We got to protect ourselves. You know, I was talking to someone on my route thing, this elder lady, she came, I was giving her a mail, and she said, she knows now I'm a preacher, so, you know, she knows now, somehow found out, because I don't tell people, I'm a Christian, you know, and so she said, well, how do you feel, okay, here she opens up the door, I always knock on the door, check on her, she's 90-something years old, still driving her car, still going to church, still, I mean, just amazing, amazing. She's a Nazarene, though. And I said, well, okay, that's okay. I'm a Christian, you know. But she said, how do you feel if somebody got 2 inches of water in their house and they threw away everything, from the mattresses to the beds to everything? I said, if whatever can be saved needs to be saved. Now, whatever's ruined is ruined. And she said, well, that's what I thought too. I said, well, good. And you know what? She goes to Nazarene Church out of the whatever. She said, that's my friend, and I know where she goes to church. And she was talking about somewhere and wherever. And I said, well, I said, sometimes, you know, people may not do what's right all the time. But I said, we need to pray for her. So you see, we have to do what's right so we don't allow things to come in that's not right. Because you see, people are looking. They might not say they're looking, but, you know, oh, yeah, they're a born-again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks in tongues, does this, does that, whatever, you know. And so they're looking. So we have to live a life that correlates, if you want to say it like that, that emanates our God. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Hey, we're all not perfect. It says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the idea is that we need to do what we know it's right to do. And when we know what it's right to do, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, because God lives in us, will help us to accomplish and do what is right according to His Word. According to His Word. How would it feel, you know, you're a Christian and something happens and somehow it's dealt with not in a good scenario. And they have to come back later and say, hey, you don't get that X amount of money. Or you don't get this, you know. Wouldn't you feel bad? I would, you know. So we have to be truthful in our in the things that we deal with. Because we need to live a life that is that correlates with God in who He is. It says that Jesus is our truth. He is all truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to live a life like Paul was trying to tell Timothy, the idea of what is walk worthy of Him. And so we need to do that to the best of our ability. To the best of our ability. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I made mistakes? Hey, we've all made mistakes. That's why we all need the blood of Jesus. That's why we all need a Savior. There is none righteous, no, not one. You might say, well, that person said he's right. There's none righteous outside of the blood of Christ. When we get into the blood of Christ and we accept Him as Lord and Savior, and the blood of Christ comes in and cleanses us, that makes us righteous, not in who we are, but in what He is and who He is and what He has done at Calvary's cross. So we need to live that righteous life to the best of our ability as we keep our faith in Christ and what He's done at Calvary's cross. As Paul was encouraging Timothy, because you see, Timothy was rising up as being a man of God, yet he was young, and people looked at his youth as, you know, not good. They thought he didn't know too much, but Paul looked at him, and Paul had instilled in him many great values about God. And so God was raising him up. And so Paul was encouraging him, look, live a life that is worthy, worthy of me. Because you see, God was calling him into ministry and to do a great thing for him. And here we also see, it says that we're to live a life worthy of the ministry of Christ. Now you might say, well, you know, Timothy, you know, God had called him to preach the gospel. I mean, that's ministry. And we, and as I said earlier, you know, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are ministry, yes. But also there's other ministries of prayer and helps, you know, of being where God wants you to be. That's a ministry. That's a ministry. I know, you know, in the church world, if you want to say it that way, people put pastors and teachers and we need to honor those in that authority and in that position, yes. But let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, someone that God has called to pray and to seek Him and to help the church succeed, that's just as powerful of a calling as somebody that is in pastoral leadership. It's no less. I know in with mankind may look at it as less. Someone that has been called and God has gripped your heart about helping with children's church or whatever ministry, music, and all kinds of stuff. Those are not less. Those are not less than someone in the fivefold ministry at all. Not at all. There's different callings. There's different giftings by God, by the Holy Spirit. However, He wants to give it to the church. I mean, you know, I look at one of the callings is it helps. It's an amazing thing that the Spirit of God put that in Scripture as a calling. Just of helps. You might say, well, what is helps? Helps is help. when the pastor needs help or help at the church, whatever it may be, from cleaning floors to wiping walls to helping with children, anything, just helping. That's a ministry. And I know there are people that have been called to help, and you can see it in their lives. They just love to help in whatever area of helps. That's a calling by God, and you need to protect it. Don't ever think, well, you know, I've been called to this. This is not worth much. It's not worth that much. I mean, God doesn't see it as much. Yes, when God calls, he sees it as very worthy of him. As very worthy of him. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work and move as he wants to in the lives and the hearts of people. Because God looks at things differently than what man looks at things. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work. Been called by God. Watch thou in all things. In all things. Ministry. Helps. And another thing it says, in that second part, it says, endure afflictions. Now, I don't like to see that. But God is telling, well, you want to say God is, but the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, endure afflictions. You know what that means? That means afflictions will come. Things will come. Not everyone will endure afflictions. You know, a lot of people start with in the battle. They accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they're going on their way, and things happen. And all of a sudden, they drift away from church. They drift away from God. And all I want to do is call out, say, no, 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 come back, come back, come back. Not too much to me, but come back to the Father. Because it's the devil that wants you to run. It's the devil that wants you to sidetrack. It's the devil that wants you to say you don't want to follow Jesus anymore. It's the devil that wants that. Because he desires for God's kingdom to be torn down in your heart and in your life. Protect the life of God in you. Protect the ministry of God in you. Protect the things that God has put in you from the enemy. And use it for the glory of God. Endure afflictions, my God. Look, we can be here till tomorrow. If I had everybody come up and say the things they've gone through, huh? And probably everyone would be shocked because we don't know everybody's intimate lives. That's not my job. We don't know the things that everybody has gone through. But I tell you what, I can look out at everybody. And you can look at me, and we know that everybody has gone through some hard, hard times. Times where we didn't know if we would get up the next morning. Times where we didn't want to get up the next morning. Times where we wanted to sleep. And just sleep, and just sleep. And not answer a call, don't answer the door, don't go on the computer because we don't want to speak to anybody, we don't want to see anybody. It's just that kind of affliction, things that we go through. But the Bible says for us to endure affliction, endure it. That doesn't mean, and it doesn't mean it'll stay forever. Because endure means we're passing through, that God the Father will help us to get through those things that we need to get through. Sometimes even as Christians, when we, you know, we talk to people about being saved and we're trying to bring them to Christ. And sometimes we may make the wrong statement of everything will be okay. I mean, isn't it be great for you? And you get saved and after about a month or two, things happen and they wonder what's going on. Now, God will take care of things, But yet it does not mean that as Christians we are immune to afflictions. We are immune to the things that happen. Look at this flooding. Christians have gone through some hard times through this thing. We're not immune. But God said he would be there for us. God said he would help us through it. God said he would be there in our affliction. God said he would help us and encourage us and be there for us. That's the difference. The world has nobody, but maybe mankind a little bit. And we know mankind cannot help much. But I tell you what, God can help. God can go to the innermost part of a being and change them from the inside out. That's the kind of God we serve, that can change circumstances, that can change our lives because of who he is and what he has done at Calvary's cross. The only one that can change people's hearts and lives. He's the only one that can take his hand and go to the innermost parts of our hearts and go to those secret places and change the things that need to be changed, that no one knows about. But God can come in and do it. An affliction of any kind. You know, torment of the enemy is an affliction. And I tell you what, the enemy is tormenting God's people like never before. Just torment of the mind, torment of the heart, just torment, telling them all kinds of stuff. Endure that. Keep your heart towards God. The one thing the enemy doesn't like is when he comes in like a flood, it says God lifts up a standard and says no more. That's the kind of God that all he has to look. Let me tell you how powerful our God is. All he has to do is look at the enemy and say, no more, no more. And that's it. That's it. There's no more. He can't say, well, it shuts him up and he stops. And you might say, well, why does God allow those things to come our way? A lot of time, and we know God has to allow it because he is in charge of our lives. And nothing can come our way as Christians unless our God allows it to come about. So we know this, our God is in charge of all things in our lives. All things. And when things come our way, he sets up a standard. But if it doesn't stop and it keeps coming and things are happening, what we do is we turn to God and we keep lifting him up. We keep praising him. We keep honoring him. And then let me tell you, it's not easy sometimes. But you see, God is looking for us to look and see things in our lives that we need to change by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't recognize some things that are hindering us until the Holy Spirit reveals it through affliction. And let me tell you, the church world, they don't want to hear about affliction. All they want us to hear about is how great God is, which is good, and we need to know that, but that we don't go through things, and that's not truth. And that's why so many Christians have been shipwrecked. Shipwrecked. I mean, they've gone and something happens and they're thinking, I'm not a Christian anymore. No, you're a Christian. You're just going to go through things. The best example that I know of, look at the book of Job. Look at what happened. This man loved God with everything within him. He loved him. And old Slewfoot has access somehow to the throne room and went to the throne of God and said, what about your servant Job? Oh, if I put something on him, he'll curse you. And God said, you can do X amount. God's in control, people. But don't kill him. And look, everything was taken from him. From his children. Can you imagine 10 caskets coming? To all his possessions. And as he sits there in a heap of ash, boils all over his body. His friends tell him to curse God. His wife tells him to curse God. And he says nothing. We need to get to a place, people, as a personal being, as a church, as a body of believers, that we stand firm for the truth no matter what. That our lives are examples unto other people of what Christ can do. And when things come our way, that we never lose hope in our God. That doesn't mean you don't get discouraged, because Job got discouraged. He just sat there and never voiced that. And we know what God did in the end. God came back, delivered his soul, gave him more than he ever had before. As people laughed at him, cursed him, were angry at him, God came back and rose him up. And God used him as a trophy. As a trophy for what he could do. People, things will come our way. We have to keep our faith in Christ. And him alone, people. The greatness of our God. The greatness of our God. What he can do, people. My God, what he can do. What God can change in an instant as we keep our faith in him. What God can do can change in an instant in our minds and in our hearts as we keep our faith in him. Our hope is in him, because I tell you, one day he's coming back for a church. Oh, I tell you, that great and glorious day where it says the eastern skies are going to split, the horn is going to blow, and God's and Jesus Christ will come, and we will rise with him, it says. Even if we're dead or not, we're going to rise with him and be with him for eternity and come back with him at a latter time to do what needs to be done here. We need to keep our faith in Christ and him alone. Great is your God. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful that we could endure all things to the end. And faithful to the end, no matter what. No matter what. As Job was sitting there in that heap of ashes for days, saying, look, I know we read the story, and I hate to say story because it's a true event that happened. We read it and we know what happened, but Job was going through it not knowing what was going on. He didn't know that the enemy had gone to our father and asked to do these things. He didn't know what was going on. That's hard. Have you ever been in a situation where you're going through something and you don't know what's going on, basically? I mean, you're kind of in the dark. You're going through it, but you're in the dark. And you're saying, Father, I have faith in you. I trust in you. That's blind faith. That's faith in Christ, no matter what. No matter what's going on in our hearts and lives. And let me tell you, God will do whatever he can that we allow him to do in our hearts and in our lives. We need to keep our faith in him and him alone. Afflictions may come, but we need to just keep our faith in Christ for our lives, our ministries, and what he's doing. And even no matter what we go through, that Christ is still on the throne. And we will know him in a better way when we come out of that situation as the deliverer, the one that helps his people, the great God Jehovah. Praise be unto God. You may stand, please.